Turn your Bibles this morning to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, and while you turn there, we'll be prepared for the text early in that chapter. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful to bow before you today. I ask you please to fill us all now with your Holy Spirit. Me, so I can deliver the message that you have for us from the words of God. All of us, so we can receive from you what you have in the text that you want us to know that's so very, very helpful, so needful for us, particularly in an hour like this. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you will, through this, magnify the Word of God, glorify the name of Jesus Christ, and edify your dear saints. And if among us there's someone who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that today what your Holy Spirit does, something we cannot do, that you will reprove of sin, righteousness, and judgment and emphasize the need of salvation in this soul's heart, that he or she may receive the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And we ask you to do all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul writes to the Galatians and he sends a typical greeting, but by the time he gets to verse 4, he's gotten down to the business at hand. Notice in verse 3, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ." And now our text, "who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father." That text says that Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins, and that he gave himself that he might deliver us from this present evil world, and that this was done according to the will of God and our Father. It helps us a little bit to understand what Paul is saying when we look at the definition of the word deliver. We understand without even having to check the definition. We're not always going to be here. One of these days, Jesus is coming and we're going to be with God in heaven. We understand that and I'm very thankful for that. And this morning when I was praying, I was thinking about it again and thought this would be a great day for Jesus to come. But really, there's something else in what he's saying here that pertains to what's going on in our lives and in the world around us right now. To deliver is to simply set free. To deliver is to simply set free. Now, everybody in here, whether you studied it in school or not, understands that in the earth, there is a gravitational pull. The earth has a property that causes everything around us to keep getting drawn back, right, to the soil, drawn back to the earth. It's a force that keeps everything drawn in. Well, that's the earth. The world also has a draw to hold you in bondage to the worldly things. This, as Paul called it, evil world has a hold on its inhabitants. But just as a rocket can defy the laws of gravity and move out into space, so the Lord Jesus Christ has the power to break the hold that the world has on you. Those are similar. Our text says that Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins. I think everybody in this room knows that, whether you've received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior yet or not. You could say, and probably learn in childhood, Jesus Christ died for our sins. But you know what? He didn't give himself just to forgive us of our sins, and he didn't give himself just to get us to heaven. He gave himself that he might deliver us from this present evil world. He wants to break that hold that the world has on us. And he said, "This is the will of God." So the will of God is to save us. The will of God is to give us eternal life. The will of God is to take us to heaven. But the will of God is also to deliver us from this present evil world, and not at the rapture only, but beginning now. Jesus delivers us from this present evil world, or will. He said that He might deliver us. Do you see that? That He might deliver us from this present evil world. In other words, it takes your cooperation. I mean, if you want to be connected to the world, if you want to be held by the world's things, then you will be, because people ultimately do what they want to do. But Jesus, in dying for us, said, I can deliver you from this present evil world. And that's what He did it for, that He might deliver us. But it takes our cooperation. Well, I want to show you from the Scripture then a few more things that the Bible says about the world that would form the points of our sermon. Here we find out that the world is a present evil world. It's interesting, just this past Friday, Brother Bain and I were able to go out. You know, I've been mentioning to you how we should go together. Well, he and I went out together and went and talked to somebody that we've talked to on a couple of occasions before. And you could tell that the Holy Spirit was genuinely present in the conversation, and he took an interest in wanting to know how to be saved. Never in my life, in talking to a soul about Jesus Christ, did we ever start in Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. But that's the first verse we looked at, to help him to understand that the things we've been talking about, this world, are the way they are because this world is a present evil world. And it gave him some light that there's something very different about Jesus Christ than the world and the religions of the world. And he took an interest. I will say this to you, it was a fabulous thing, but after a long period of time of discussing things and then the Bible, that saint got saved Friday, and we were very excited about that. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, if you'll turn there with me, will tell you, give you a little more insight into this present evil world, something you may not have known. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19, John says this, 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, and we know that we are of God, and, listen, the whole world lieth in wickedness. The whole world lieth in wickedness. That is a very profound statement. Jesus then, first of all, delivers us from the wickedness of this world. You see it right there in the text. Jesus delivers us from this present evil world, then He delivers us from the wickedness of this world. You know, people who don't know the Bible, or people who don't believe the Bible, don't realize the true condition of this world. I mean, we live here. We work here. Find our recreation here, we travel here, we build homes here, we rest here, we grow up here, we feed ourselves here, we raise our children here. There's a lot of activity in our lives every single day that involves this world. So it's hard for people who are consumed with everything that we ordinarily have to do on this world to recognize that this world lies in wickedness, the whole thing. But when you start reading the Bible and you pay attention to what really goes on here, and you pay attention to God's perspective on this world, you begin to realize that you were born into a world that is terribly corrupt. In other words, when you hear the 6 o'clock news or 10 or all day long, or whenever you listen to it, or you read something horrific, you're like, I just can't believe that happened. It happens because everything down here is corrupt. It ought to surprise us. There's as much good news down here as there is, and there's much beauty as there is down here, because the whole world lieth in wickedness. Now, God didn't make it this way. You got to understand that. God didn't make a terrible world. God didn't make a corrupt world. He made it perfect. He made a beautiful world. He said about the world he created that everything he did in it and around it, like those sun, moon, and stars, those days that he did that, the Bible says that was a good day. And he saw that everything in it that he made was good. He didn't make it this way. He made us without sin, and this world was not affected by what happened with Adam and Eve's sin in the garden. But when Adam and Eve sinned, sin and death entered. This world entered into our human nature and affected the entire human race. You know what you ought to do? People don't read as much today as they used to. But companies have made it a little bit simpler for you. If you like people to read to you, then get an audiobook. You don't have to read it. They'll read it for you. You ought to read some books about war. If you don't realize the wickedness of this world, read a few books about war that include the atrocities committed by men and nations against their enemies. It would absolutely shock you if you don't already know. You can't imagine that people would do such horrendously wicked things to each other just because they have conquest for more land or more resources. But they do. And the reason that those horrible things happen is that we live in a fallen, wicked world. The whole world lieth in wickedness. Now, here's something you need to understand. Don't think that the atrocities of the past are going to stay in the past. They're going to happen again. And when they happen again, according to what the Bible says, the outcome is going to be worse than it was the last time. It's going to be horrific. It's going to be more of the same and worse in the future. You say, what are we doing with this message? Why did we choose to come here today? We didn't want all this bad news. Well, every person born into this world is born into sin and death. In other words, all that wickedness that you see out there and you go, how horrific, it's in us as well because sin is in us as well. You may not do the same thing as somebody else. You're shocked that did what they did. But sin is sin and death is death. And it affects every person that's here. And sin is wicked in and of itself. And may I tell you something about sin and death? Sin and death are not passive enemies. They don't just sit there and kind of just hang out till you come to them. They come to you. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 21 says, evil pursueth sinners. It's looking for you. It's trying to catch you. And you have to realize while you're living here that this present world is evil. I remember when I first started reading this Bible back in 1986. And, you know, I was reading, I hadn't read in all those years that I'd been alive. I thought, man, I got a lot of catching up to do. So I was reading about 10 pages a day. And I think the first year that I read the Bible, I'd gone through it a couple of times. And I remember picking up the phone and calling a friend of mine. And I said, you know what? And he said, what? I said, this world is going to hell in a handbasket. He just simply said, evidence. Because now you're getting a different perspective of all that was going on around you. Now, the purpose for this first point is to simply say this. Once you get God's perspective on the world and you realize that the whole world lieth in wickedness, you should want Jesus to deliver you from the world. That's the problem with a lot of people. He says, our text said that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Well, you're not going to want him to if this world is a place that you really enjoy and extract all of your pleasure from it. You got to understand how the world works. That pleasure that it lets you have is there to entice you to the things that are drawing you until those pleasures can wear you out. You get to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, but they'll catch up with you because with sin always comes death. And so you have to understand, this is a present evil world. This whole world lieth in wickedness. When I began to realize that, I looked to the Lord and I said, if there's anything you can do about this situation, I want you to do it. I want to be drawn away from it. Now, a lot of Christians pray for the world to be a better place to live. I'm going to tell you something. That prayer is not going to get answered until Jesus comes. When Jesus is ruling on this earth, the world would be a better place to live. But until then, it's not going to get better, but you can. But you can. If you'll let him deliver you from this present evil world that lies in wickedness. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And here's the next thing to understand about why we should be delivered from this present evil world. God delivers us from the wickedness of the world. But then notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the verse we want is verse 4, but read with me at the beginning of verse 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, we but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, watch it, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. First of all, Jesus Christ wants to deliver you from the wickedness of the world. And secondly, he wants to deliver you from the God of this world. The God of this world who has blinded the minds of them which believe not. You might have talked to somebody before about Jesus Christ and you found it difficult to get them to accept the message of salvation in Christ. And you're like, I just don't understand. If they have a strong religious background or a commitment to their family's religion, they're going to be hard to lead to the Lord initially. Why? Blinded. Who blinded them? The religion. Where did the religion come from? Well, they're man-made, but they're devil-inspired. People have said, why are there so many religions in the earth? And the reason is there are so many men in the earth, and they all have their ideas about how they can create rituals and practices that people should perform in order to be able to get to what they, in their mind, think is heaven. It's all worldly. And it's all a manipulation of the devil in order to keep men who at the very root of their being are religious. Cain killed Abel, but he's the one that offered the first sacrifice. They're man-made but devil-inspired, and people kill each other over these religions. You'll talk to the ordinary citizen, they'll say, I can't believe why all these religions, they want to kill each other. Because they come from the devil. What did Jesus Christ describe the devil as? He said about the devil, he came for to kill and to steal and to destroy. That's what he does. That's what he does. The devil is an enemy of Jesus Christ. The devil is an enemy of God, but the sad thing is, because of what happened in the garden, he is the God of this world. When you read in war, you read that enemies will strengthen their defenses against an attacking army. They'll put landmines down. They will hide in embankments. Natural, like caves or pillboxes like they make. And they will set up ways to shoot machine guns that intersect like that. They come up with drones that fly over your head that are not even operated with somebody in the cockpit. All kinds of ways to kill you. Booby traps. Every other kind of thing. All of those are to keep you from attacking their stronghold. Do you know when you stand up for Jesus Christ and you open your mouth on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ that somebody lost might be saved, you are entering an enemy's territory. And he does not want those people to get saved. He's blinding their minds. And he has all kinds of methods to defend the territory that he currently has. And he has deadly enemies, both in religion and in nations and even in his own evil spirits, that work with the devil to deceive you, to trip you, to trap you, to steal from you, to destroy you, to kill you. And just like all those horrendous atrocities that you read about in war, you have those with the devil. He is a full-scale enemy against the Lord Jesus Christ and the truth. And he's down here in the world. He is the God of this world. You know, what happens to us as we live here, you have compassion on family members that are lost and you want them to be saved, right? You have compassion on neighbors that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ and you want them to be saved. And you have compassion on friends and you have compassion on acquaintances and business associates. But you know something? When you get ready to open your mouth about the Lord Jesus Christ that they might be saved, you already sense that there's a tension. You already sense that this may not be a comfortable, convenient conversation. And part of the reason is they don't really understand what you're getting ready to tell them, and that makes them nervous. But the other reason is you have an adversary who does not want that person to be saved. The Bible tells us when Jesus Christ saves somebody, he has redeemed them. He paid a price on Calvary to buy them back from the condition they're in. And the devil makes the conditions of people who are lost comfortable enough that they're actually afraid to come out of those conditions to trust Christ. Sometimes people will come here and we'll preach the gospel, and we're simply really desiring to help them to understand that if they'll receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, they'll be saved, and they'll walk out offended. And you're like, why? I didn't even attempt. I didn't even desire. Didn't even have it in mind that they might be offended. But there's an evil spirit. There's a devil that works. All you have to do is indicate that religion doesn't save you. Only Christ can save you. And if they're religious, they get offended. Not all, thank God. They get offended. And they walk out of here thinking they're right and you're wrong, and if nothing changes between now and the time they pass away, they die and go to hell. And they had no idea that they were deceived to that point by an evil spirit, held in bondage to worldly methods of quote-unquote Christianity called religion. That's a frightful thing. And sometimes when Christians, as we studied in Sunday school this morning, go out to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ like the disciples did, this world is so contrary to Christianity, those in religion kill those who are Christians that are trying to save their souls by preaching the gospel. This is a wicked place with a God that is contrary to the God of our universe who made you and who loved you enough to send his Son Jesus Christ to save you. And you have to recognize that this God of this world is opposed to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to deliver us from this present evil world, and the God of this world wants to hold you in subjection to this present evil world. And he'll do anything that he can within his power to convince you that he's right and God is wrong. Look with me in Ephesians 2:2. Ephesians 2:2. In Ephesians 2:2, Paul is in the context of talking about people that got saved in verse 1. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. But watch this. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's the devil, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Jesus Christ gave himself that he might deliver us from the wickedness of the world, the God of this world, and the course of this world. As I said earlier, the course of this world is not going to change. It is running contrary to God, and it will continue to run contrary to God, and it will continue to get further from God. This world is not on a course to turn around and head toward God until God Himself, Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, is sitting on the throne of His glory and running this place like it should be run. This world is contrary to God. This world is constantly on a course that is moving away from God. You see glimpses of things and you get a little bit of hope and you say, oh, they changed this law or they've approved this, and those give you glimmers of hope, but pendulums swing. Pendulums swing. Here's the beauty of this book. The beauty of this Bible right here is that it understands, the God that wrote this book understands the course of this world. And this book, when you read it, will guide you through every enemy, emplacement, trip, trap, bunker, mine that's there to destroy you. This Bible is the only roadmap through the world and the course it's on. How is it that we as Christians can work in this world, live in this world, raise our children in this world, and yet say in our hymn book, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through? Well, to be able to pass through this world and be delivered from this world at the same time, you have to have the Bible. This is the lamp to your feet. This is the light to your path. It shows you where all the points are that can trip you up. If you take young people today that are teenagers, I commend you that are, please make it a habit now that you're old enough to read, however old you are, make it a habit to start reading this book for yourself. Because God will use it to guide you. God will use it to point out things that He wants you to avoid that will trap you and trip you and hurt you and hold you. And so you read it and you're like, well, I'm reading all about wars that took place centuries ago, this and that. Yeah, but there's an awful lot about human nature in there that you find in your own neighborhood. And when you learn that, you recognize what to believe and what not to believe. God gives you wisdom and discretion and discernment and prudence and perception and inspiration and revelation. And He lights up for you all the hidden things that are in this world that are there to trip you up. He lights them up for you and He says, that right there, that's not for you. He also lights up things for you that are here for you. Sometimes there are people that are looking for a church, and they come to God and they pray and they say, where would you have me to go? Where should I unite? With whom do you want me to be? And He will light up, in a way of speaking, the place. There are people that are here today, some of you that are here today, and you will say, with the first time I came here or with the first few times of being here, I knew this is where God wanted me to be. This is a waypoint to provide protection and instruction and help to help you and help us together support each other in a world that is against us. The Lord has all that in place for you. He has the right spouse for you, and He has the right instruction for you. He has the right job for you. He has the right school for you. He has the right friends for you. He's got the right house for you. He's got the right neighborhood for you. He's got it all. Got the right church for you. You get in that book and you say, Lord, I realize the course of this world is spinning in a way that, because I live here, is trying to get me off track. Constantly. Through television, through the things that are on the internet, through influences of friends. Somebody that walks with fools is a foolish man. You walk with wise men, you're a wise man. All that's going on down here the whole time. And the Lord has it in the book. and through counsel, through prayer, through friends, to help you navigate through here so that the course direction of this world doesn't get you off course with God. You can't go the way of the world and be going the way of God. I'll tell you this. You got to know this. If it's of the world, it's not of God. Let me say it again. If it's of the world, it's not of God. And we're going to see that here in just a moment with the last verse. But I want to say, when the church brought the world into the church, the world's methods, the world's performances, the world's wisdom, the world's men, in order to draw up a crowd, the church turned away from God. That's not God's course. That's the world's course. And you cannot go God's way by going the world's way. Does it work? They're going in the opposite directions. If you decide to bring the world in order to pick up a bigger crowd, and you can justify it by saying, well, more people are getting saved, you are taking the church in the direction of the world. And that world will take that church off course and away from God. Can't go any other way. And Jesus Christ came and said, I'm going to deliver you from the course of this world, but you got to go my way. That he might deliver us from this present evil world. If you go his way, he will. That's the will of God. But if you go the world's way, then you'll be on the way of the world, and you won't have any light to light up all the enemies and all the traps and all the trip places and all the holes that he has for you. But he'll lead you to them, and his goal is to sink you. Let me tell you something. There are people that have sat in the seats where you're sitting now that are not here. They are so wrecked in the world right now that it'll be a miracle of God if they ever set foot in a church like this again. And they grew up here, some of them. What happened? They didn't want to be delivered from this world. When they got a taste of it, they're like, hoo-hoo, that's good. Not realizing that it was evil. Hoo-hoo, that's good. Not realizing that it was wicked. Hoo-hoo, that's good. Not realizing that that God is the devil. Hoo-hoo, that's good. Not realizing that course always leads away from God. You don't want to get comfortable with that. And then turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, and look at verse 15. And we'll read three verses here. He came to deliver us from this present evil world, the wickedness of the world, the god of this world, the course of this world, and then this. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, watch it. The love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world does what? Passeth away. And the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Jesus Christ will deliver you from the love of this world. He'll deliver you from the love of this world. You know, when you see these verses and you realize the Bible is true, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you, that is a very difficult thing to swallow if you love the world in which you live. And here's Paul. Paul had numbers of traveling companions, and he mentions their names in certain of his epistles that he writes. And he writes in certain of his epistles about a man named Demas. And Demas was a fellow helper. Demas was a fellow soldier. And then he writes to Timothy at the end when he's writing his last letter, and he says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Do you understand? Like gravity, there is a draw of this world, and if you will just turn to love it, it will draw you in. And Demas was taken completely out of commission as a soldier of the Lord. by the love of the world. You understand, we live in this world and we want to get along in this world, and some of us, many of us, are persuaded when the world says, oh, we just love you. You know, you're just so great. And you're kind of like, oh, I don't want to upset that apple cart. I know that person's not saved, but I want to continue to hear that that person, you may never get to the gospel with a person like that, because you're so held by the praise. Oh, you're such a nice person. Well, I'm not going to say something that might make you think I'm not a nice person by telling you the gospel. And so sometimes people just get completely locked up on the gospel because they don't want to jeopardize the friendship that they have with the person of the world, the love of the world. Jesus said this about us. He said, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world, what? Hateth you. You can't play footsies with the world. It doesn't work. Now I understand we all, and this is a good thing, have people that we're associated with in the world, that we love in the way that Christ loved us before we got saved, that we want to see get saved. Not talking about that. Loving souls. He's talking about loving them in such a way that you do what they do, you go where they go, you say what they say, you say things to gain their applause so that they won't think you're anything but one of them. You'll never have a witness with them. And if you do have a witness with them, you might risk them not liking you. Or as Jesus said, hating you for your witness. But you know, I've noticed something, and some of you probably have as well. There are times when you have stepped out on a limb to tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ, and when you did, they got upset with you. Big time. But what you said got under their skin enough that they couldn't let it go. And eventually, they came to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you hadn't stepped out and made it known where you stand with the Lord and with the world, they would have never seen the difference in their own need of salvation. As we saw in Sunday school, Stephen got buried under a pile of rocks, and Saul, who eventually became Paul the Apostle, is standing there and heard what Stephen said. And when Jesus arrived on the road to Damascus and appeared to Paul, he said to him, "It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." That thing that Stephen said and what Saul saw wouldn't let him go. Wouldn't let him go. If they think that you love them the way they love the world, you'll never have a solid witness with them. But if they recognize there's a distinction between you and them because you're of Christ and they're of the world, they may not like that initially, but they'll come and hug your neck if they ever come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they'll thank you for taking the stand that you've taken against the world. Now, we live here. We eat here. We sleep here. We work here. We go to school here. We raise our families here. We're buried here. You're going to use this world. You have to. But Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 about us living here, he said, use the world, but don't abuse the world. That is, don't misuse it. Don't go to it where you're beginning to take things from the world that God doesn't want you to have. And so he tells us in another passage to maintain separation. Come out from among those things. It's like one preacher said, you don't go to the bar to win your beer drinking buddies to the Lord. You go on Saturday morning when they're waking up from their hangovers. You talk to them on the front porch. Right? Use it, but don't abuse it. And the reason you don't want to abuse it is you don't want it to draw you. This is a powerful force down here. There are people today who would be more effective for Christ if they weren't so wrapped up in their own careers. That's the world. Not saying you shouldn't be successful and that you shouldn't work hard. But what happens is people will go overboard sometimes, and it's never about the Lord, but it's always about their work or the family or the whatever. The world's got a strong pull. The world's the enemy of God. And Jesus said, I gave myself for your sins that I might deliver you from this present evil world. And you got to let him do his job. Work with him. So you don't get sidetracked, tripped up, knocked out, or destroyed by what's going on in this world. You don't want that. You go with God. Don't go worldly. Go godly. You live godly in this present world. That's what you do. You say, now, preacher, why do we go through this today? Why do we have this sermon today? For a couple of reasons that I want you to consider. Some of you today are too close to the world. I can't point you out because I don't know it about you specifically. But I know the book, and I know the nature of man. Some of you are too close to the world, and part of the reason is you forgot that this present world is evil, that there's wickedness here, there's a God here, there's a course here, and loving this world will take you off course with God. You beware. You're not going in a good direction. You're going to have to slam the brakes on that, and you're going to have to turn around and get with God. Amen? You say, why else did we go through this? We went through this because you're dealing with folks. Some of you now have been stirred up to start talking to your friends, your neighbors, your relatives, your co-workers about the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're getting a little pushback from that. You will get pushback from that, but that's because they're in the world and you're in Christ. But God knows in some of those cases you're the only one God can use right now to get that gospel to them, and you can't shy away. You want to understand the reason that it's going like it is, the reason that there's friction is they're on a different course. They're listening to a different God. They're into something wicked. They love this place. And it takes you a little bit more work and a little bit more prayer and a little more persistence to bring them to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ before they will turn that around and come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Understand that. They're not traveling down the same course you're traveling. And they're not going to until they get saved. And don't get weak-kneed about it. It is a fight. But I tell some people sometimes when they talk about their family or somebody close to them, right now you're the only one God is using to reach them. Let him use you. Come out. Let them know you're not on the same course, but you're doing what you're doing because Jesus Christ died for their sins and died that he might deliver them from this present evil world so they don't go down with it. This world eventually, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, is going to dissolve away all of its elements, going to burn completely up. Every achievement of man done on this earth for man and for his own recognition will go up in smoke. But the things you do for Christ will last forever. And you need to remember that, where you put your priorities. Very, very important. This world is a present evil world. Don't let it take you down. And don't let it take your friends down if you can reach them with the gospel. Father, thank you today for an opportunity to open the words of God and be instructed about the place where we live. Maybe today some now understand why we sing songs like "This World Is Not My Home, I'm Just Passing Through," or why we get so excited about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ so we can leave here. Now I ask you now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, to do a couple of things. First, Father, if there's anybody here that's lost, I pray they will understand that Jesus died to save them and also to give them victory over things in this world. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I just prayed a little prayer for you. Is there anybody here today, right now, that would raise your hand and say, "Preacher, I don't know Jesus, but I'd like to, and I'd like you to stick around and talk to me about him when this service is over." If you're that person, would you raise your hand right now and put it back down? Let me know. Don't hesitate for Jesus Christ to save you if you're not saved. Is there anybody right now, raise your hand and say, "Preacher, me, I'm the one. I want to talk to you after the service." All right. Father, second thing I pray is this. If we've got somebody, and honestly, I don't know anybody that I would direct this message to. So I just say, I preach the message I believe you want me to preach. But Father, if there's somebody hugging too close to this world that needed this today, I pray, Lord, you'll speak to them now and let them know, hey, that's for you. I preach that for you. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand about that. You may want to. You don't need to, because God knows your heart. But recognize where you live now and understand what's really going on that you might not have seen. God help you as you make a decision to now go the course of God and away from the course of this wicked world. And Father, I pray you'll help us as a church. Always be wise about the things of the Lord and do your stuff your way with your wisdom and your words, and not cave into the pressure to do worldly things in order to get worldliness in the church. We understand that's a bad course. But help us not to be so separated we can't reach the world. Help us, Father, be more burdened now than ever before for those that we want to reach that are stuck in this. Maybe we have more understanding now why it's so difficult. And help us to be more persistent in our witness to bring them to Christ. For we ask you to do all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.